Hello and welcome to the debrief for our Zadia one shot that was called Zadia Race Against Time. And it was a ton of fun. We're going to chat about it now. Before we get started, I do want to invite everyone to come join us over on the Actual Place. That is our home for our podcast and a couple of other Actual Play podcasts as well. It is a wonderful place with wonderful people. Come hang out with us and come talk about this show and find some new shows. Hannah, I think I'm going to let you run this since you ran the show before.
All right, so first question with our normal, like, behind-the-veil questions is, what did you guys think of the last arc? So what did you guys think of this one-shot?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun. Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say, I thought it was very fun to play in a world that I knew from a TV show.
Yeah.
And kind of live out a character in that world. I thought that was very fun.
It was really different.
Yeah, the tone was quite different, especially with the whole, oh yes, the world could end kind of thing.
Yeah,
although
we were
that's not so different from some others.
Immediately thrust into a big problem, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was also really different just because we were playing a module, I think, or whatever the term is.
I think it is a
preconceived story, you know. It was pretty different just because of that. But
I was gonna
I thought
say,
you did a great job with it, Anna.
At some point I wanted to point out that I thought it was very interesting to like step out of our comfort zone of homebrew into something that we don't usually do, which is like you were just saying, modules. I thought that was
Weirdly harder.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You would expect it to be
it
the
was
other way
hard
around.
For me specifically.
Yes. But well, I'm sure we'll get there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just love playing through it because, like Andrew said, it's in a world that's been established by creators of shows that I love, including this one and Last Airbender. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life? Stop this right now and go watch it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved how they've built this lore up so much that they decided, hey, we've got enough world to make a game. Why don't we do that? And then, of course, my character, I got to play the Sunfire Elves, which I haven't seen all elf types yet, but I always thought they were awesome, and they are. So that was cool.
I love Sunfire Elves.
Yeah. I think that just like the we've talked about it before, but the fact that the module we were playing was directly tied into the events of the show. It wasn't just that we were playing a module in Zadia. We were like interacting with an important part of the story, which was very cool.
Yeah. I like that a lot too. I think it's really interesting, like, you know, because obviously I am a huge fan of the Dragon Prince. And so to feel like I'm making a difference in the world that these characters I love live in, like, that was awesome.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Very good choice for the module that you ran.
Thank you.
I think if I remember right, you even said in episodes, like, I read it and I was like, I have to run this.
Yeah, there was, like, there's one big module in the book, and then they have two kind of, like, mini test modules for you to like test the system on their webpage that are like free.
Mm-hmm.
So I read through all of them, and whenever I read this one, I was like, even though it's the longer one, like the longest one, I have to do this one.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it worked out. It wasn't even one of our longer like one shots.
It was fairly short. Yeah.
Well, that also plays into I have never run a module before, so I didn't know how long it was gonna take. Now the module itself is like there's like three different acts, I think, and let me see how many acts there are. Yeah, so there's three different acts. So once we got through the first one in a couple of hours, I was like, oh well, we're gonna finish this whole thing in not much time.
Yeah. We also just like were very set, like we were very focused on our task, so there wasn't a lot of meandering, you know.
Yeah.
But that kind of brings me into the second question, like, what was your favorite part of the one shot? Because you guys were very focused. There was not much a shenanigans or anything.
I mean,
well, it didn't feel like there could be shenanigans.
There didn't have time.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no time
honestly,
for shenanigans.
No. Like, that, I think, is probably my favorite thing about it. Just, like, the feeling of dread this entire time. Just, like, yeah. We know this is going to blow up. What are we doing standing around talking? We need to move. We need to go. Like,
yeah.
I just had this intense feeling of like, dread the whole time that was really entertaining.
Yeah.
Dread? That was my game. No, I'm kidding.
It did set a certain urgency.
Yes.
Yes. My favorite moment was saving the dragon and getting to ride a dragon.
That was cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite might have been just because of how terribly cinematic it would have been on screen, and I could easily see it happening in the show itself with us on the, like, me hanging from the from your hanging by Take my care. Shoulders from your character, and then I, you know, It's the baseball pitch of all. It's the biggest baseball pitch of all time. Ah, you know,
and yeah,
and possibly at the end too, because then not only did we save the world from being blown up, but we got to interact with Karim, who is a cool character.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh! I just realized, isn't that what I named the little?
Yes.
Creature
yes.
from Spell.
Yes, it was.
I don't Karim. Know why that just hit me. That yeah, this is the same name. Okay.
Spelled differently, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we could go over this question for a one shot. Where do you think things are going from here, and like, what do you want to happen next with your characters?
Mine's kind of easy, because my character is just kind of like a wanderer slash, like, he originally was like a guide in tunnels and then kind of like still did it, but mostly just wanted to do his own thing, and this crisis caused him to like go back and do it. But we established that he and Kefira knew each other, and I mean, I'm a broken record. I always like to make my characters like my wife's characters, so I would like to think they go traveling together for a while, and who
I
knows?
I was actually thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, I want to, because that's what we do. Like, we're both sort of travelers. We're both sort of explorers. So I figured it'd be fun to team up for a bit.
Yeah, and maybe who knows what that means.
I can find the neat feathers for the thing I was looking for.
Yeah. And I just get to see more of Zadia.
Yeah.
And yeah. maybe fall in love along the way. Who knows?
Maybe.
The only other thing I could think of for my character is he definitely, before we leave, would just absolutely like sit down with... name is escaping Eckers. He would Eckers. Definitely sit down with Eckers and learn what it is like to be a human, because he is the first human he has ever met, because he has only ever lived in Zadia, and until recently humans haven't been there. So
yeah, Eckers would love that.
Yeah, he wants to make a new friend of another species.
Yes, a new human friend.
A new human friend. A first for him.
I'd like to think that he, Daraka, returns to the returns to the Storm Spire, or actually, at this point, it might be back to the encampment now, depending on how long ago or how long since it's been. And even though he wasn't able to resurrect his own armor. In the, of course, because the Sunforge was not entirely cured, because fun fact, if the Sunforge was able to be entirely restored, then he was told by the mage that changed the color that it would be purified and restored if being submerged in the Sunforge. But of course that didn't happen. But I think upon returning to Janai, I would just, even hearing Karim say that meant a lot and gave him the strength to kind of, like, return to his people, you know, not feeling so terrible. And then,
yeah.
But I would love it if he gets back and she, like, he already was, like, one of her elite guards or soldiers, but I would just like for them to maybe have a conversation where she honestly just sits down with him and explains, you know, you did what you had to do. You know, it was a terrible thing that happened to our people, but you can't, you can't allow that to define the rest of your life, because, you know, obviously she knows not to do that because she's leading her people and looking to the future and all this stuff. And she doesn't have to do this if she doesn't want to, but if she ended up being like, you know what?
Well, I have no control over Janai.
I know, so. But this is your version of Janai, so she could do it. I think he would come to a better understanding of this, especially hearing it from Her Majesty now. And then also, like, maybe he gets a new set of armor, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he carries this as kind of a reminder of or maybe that's like the way to distinguish now, because it's like, oh, it's that he's the one in the black armor. He's the one who
he's
basically
the Dark Knight.
Watch a pro protector, the Dark Knight. Whether he keeps the armor or not, I think he comes to a better understanding of himself and his role, and
maybe feels a little less bad.
Yes, he does. He really does, and he might get promoted. But that's up to the queen, or, you know, the senior...
The Golden Knight.
Yes, Golden Knight. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember the name.
It's okay. Yeah, I think that's a good goals for Daraka.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, so... Things that didn't happen is the next question. And boy,
yes,
oh
please.
Boy,
I
is there a lot
all
of
the
them,
endings
because you guys freight trained through this module. You just brute forced your way through it.
We noped out of a lot
of
things.
We had to. It's like I said, we had that sense of urgency.
I know.
Tell us what didn't happen, though.
Let's see. Where do I start?
Oh, boy. Okay.
At the beginning.
A very good place to start.
First of all, with Vaka. If you guys, like, heard her out and like managed to like get her on your side, she would have made you another vial of the serum that you could have used on other people, and you could have saved one of the vials specifically for the Sunforge.
But I thought she couldn't make any more.
That's what she told us.
She told us that she had made everything she had.
There's a arbitorium on the way up to the Sunforge that has the ingredients that she needs to make another vial.
And we would have known if we
had
her with
to, like,
us.
Befriend her and bring her with you to have access to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Shoot.
Okay.
And you guys were just like, no, screw off. We would have.
We have a plan. We know it's going to work.
We're
going to trust our knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah. You guys accomplished, like, what you set out to do, but you could have helped. Like, maybe some of the refugees along the way get out of the city faster, you know, if you were able to give them some of the serum, like, you know. Like, you could have had another bottle for other purposes if you would have had Vaka with you.
Mm.
Gotcha.
I don't know if we would have.
Because it still would have been us stopping to administer potion.
Yeah.
Instead
we
of
were just
you
so
could have
focused.
Sent Eckers back to the refugee camp because he was, that's what he
yeah.
wanted to do and that's what he was supposed to do.
That was my thought,
to
too. If we
yeah.
had that, I would have just said... Go get over there, yeah. human, and do it.
Yeah. It required us to convince her in the first place, which we didn't succeed on.
We
so,
sucked at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one, like, kind of like big thing.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah.
There were a couple of different ways that this could have ended, like with the Sunforge specifically. You guys, I think, got the best outcome.
Yay.
But there is, like, an interesting outcome where you guys almost completely ignored the shard the whole time, even
uh-huh.
though it was dinging profusely at you.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was dinging profusely at us usually when we were about to be eaten.
It's because it was pinging constantly the closer you got to the tower.
Yeah.
Because it pinged off of, like, the corruption or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this shard and the serum could have both been thrown into the Sunforge.
I almost thought about that, but... Sorry, go ahead.
And here's the interesting part.
Oh, boy.
I think it says the shard is part of the Sunforge, and so, like, you're, like, returning part of the Sunforge to it. And so what happens if you do that is the city becomes uninhabitable. That's always the outcome. Oh, okay. But the reason it becomes uninhabitable is the shard and the serum going into the Sunforge cause the Sunforge to drop out of the sky and barrel into the ground and basically cause a volcano to form there.
Oh my lord.
So definitely... instead of being like the city shrouded in like corrupted energy, you make a volcano.
I feel like we did better than that.
I feel like we did better because, yeah.
I think you got the best outcome.
Yeah.
However, I thought that was a really interesting
I mean, that would look really cool, I'm sure, but...
It's called the Infinity Hole, by the way.
Infinity Hole.
Not the mystery. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Not to be confused.
Let's see, it says, the destruction causes no deaths, but looms over this world for a long time. Eventually, the Sunforge drills down so low it produces volcanic activity. Within weeks, Luxaria will begin to reach towards the sky as a volcano forms. For years, mages will debate whether the ominous object deep below the surface will one day cause some sort of cataclysmic event. Not in the PC's lifetime, probably, as far as they know.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't do one.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
There's a lot of other, like, little things that, like, could have happened, but I think those were the two big things, basically. Missing out on Vodka making you more serum, and then some of the, like, other ways that you... things that could have happened.
Or, like, the other outcomes with the Sunforge, like, what if we couldn't do anything? Like, what if we failed or died or something and, like, never got there? It's like nothing happened.
Good question. Let me see if it has a section in here for that.
The world ends.
It basically says, like, no need to go into the details of death surrounding this cataclysmic event. It's a lot.
Wow.
Fair enough.
It basically says, get your PCs out of Luxaria as fast as possible. And, yeah.
We did.
We did, yeah. That.
Oh, also the ending basically that you guys achieve is literally called the Big Toss. So
cool.
There was also like a war catapult at the top of the tower that you could have used to launch the serum into the Sunforge instead of throwing it, and that would have been an easier test. A much easier test actually, but none of you guys looked around at the top of the tower when you got up there.
Yeah. So we didn't even see it.
Yeah. So there's a couple things like that that you miss just because, like you said, you just freight trained through it, which is fine.
It's great.
You succeeded in the end. Like you said, we got what was probably the best ending.
Yes, I think you guys got what was like the best ending. But yeah.
I love the fact that the book doesn't like the apocalypse so much it doesn't even describe it. It's like, no need. It's just there. Everyone knows what happens in an apocalypse.
It's probably meant to not be too hard on your PCs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys have any questions for me about, like, what happened or, you know, after hearing all that, or...
I think that makes about sense.
I think, did it have, was there anything related to the dragon? I don't believe there would have been. Like, it was pretty much there as an obstacle that was always going to try to interfere with us if we took to the skies. So, was there anything else, like, related to the dragon we might have missed? As far as, like, what it could have done as, like, events or anything like
that? Could we have killed it?
You could have killed it. Like I said, you probably wouldn't have wanted to because, it, like, elves hold dragons in high regard.
But it did also want to eat us, so.
Oh, there is. Oh, that's what I forgot. The reason it doesn't describe the whole cataclysmic event, thank you for reminding me, is because if you guys failed, like you used all of the serum, you did everything like you could to try and stop it from exploding, Orta, the dragon, was going to sacrifice herself by diving into the Sunforge, and that would be enough to stop the apocalyptic event. Like, her primal, like, energy would be enough to contain the Sunforge's explosion to just Luxaria. So that's like the negative thing, is that if you guys failed, it would have cost Orta her life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that means the way to break, like, really break the game and, like, destroy all of Zadia is to kill the dragon and spend all the serum.
Yeah, I mean, you really
and like that's really not likely either, because like if you kill the dragon, you have a shot towards the Sunforge. So, yeah,
yeah, but then you can roll like butt like we did, and if we hadn't saved all of our points to the end, you know,
yeah,
it would have been bad.
Yeah, you could have attempted to gather up remnants of the serum and tried for another throw, but it was going to be even harder.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You probably would have failed that, and then Orta would have sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we would have been stuck at that point. We would have been at the epicenter when it goes off. So we would have probably not made it. Like, that would have been, like, the cost for ourselves, too, is, like, save the city, but sacrifice ourselves as well.
No, you would have had time to escape, just like you had time with throwing this serum into the Sunforge, but...
But we got out faster because we were on a dragon.
It really kind of felt like we just got out because we were on a dragon.
Yeah. In your version, yes.
That's fair. But in other versions, it could have been different.
Yeah, in other versions, it could have been different.
Yeah, yeah. That's very cool. I like those mist things, the kind of the branching paths of options.
So no other questions?
Not that are springing to mind urgently.
I mean, yeah, I think that I feel like we had a pretty good grasp on the situation. What's Ecker's epilogue? That's what I want to know.
It says, Ecker's vows to continue to help the Sunfire people until the end of his days and announces that he will stay nearby to help refugees find a new home. He invites PCs to help him if they like, as he's not much for setting up tents and has been mostly sleeping in bushes since he defected from Viren's army.
Oh, nice.
I think we probably would have helped out with that for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vaka, I know you, I described her holding a locket at the end. It says, if Vaka is nearby, let her grieve for her city. If she should feel comfortable, describe Vaka removing a hidden locket and tracing a drawing in it with her fingertip. It's the face of her long-lost love, Khadija, a casualty of the Battle of the Storm Spire. Aww. They were childhood sweethearts who met on the streets of Luxaria, and in a way, their story truly ended today.
Aww.
Oh, man.
I know.
That's
very
sad
for Vaka. I like the details they put in here for the characters, though. It makes them feel very real.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, anything else?
Nope.
I don't think so. For me.
Okay. So let's go into the system next. What did you guys think of, like, the Tales of Zadia and Cortex system in general?
I liked how different it was from things we've normally done. So, like, I liked the idea of roll. Like, it has, like, that kind of dice pool feel of a game like Shadowrun, but it's the different kinds of dice and you only get to use two of them. Like, I kind of like how that mechanically how that plays out, because it requires you to have a lot of things that can help you at once in an effort to get more rolls, you know?
Yeah.
But it still isn't like, it feels like it's not overpowered because you're still only keeping two dice at the end of it. And what you're rolling against is, if it's contested, is only keeping two dice against it. So it feels well balanced, and I like how different it is.
Yeah, and if you, like, whiff a roll on a D8, like, you only get a 1, but you get a 6 on your D6, like, that's still better than a 1, you know, even though the dice is lower.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
I liked the stress system, too, that one. Especially in this particular one, because as if there wasn't enough urgency in the narrative already, then you have to remember, like, oh, am I carrying stress? Oh, yes, you're carrying stress. Oh, that means I could minus die from my pool. No!
Yeah. Or she gets dice against
you.
Give you
less dice. It gives me more dice against
you. More
which
to,
I thought
more
was,
ways to mess
was
us up.
Interesting that it doesn't, like, take away from your stats, but it gives me more ways to, like, get in your way, essentially.
Yeah, that's a really good kind of kind of nuance or twist to it. I like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting system. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not sure it works very well with my brain. But that is probably more of a me problem than it is with a system. I think it's a very well designed, and I think the Zadia, the way Zadia like used it, like that overall like thing, like how they merged mm-hmm. it with the Cortex system is really, really good. I'm just like, it kind of slowed stuff down every time. You have to talk about like what you have to, like what you're going to use every time. Maybe like mm-hmm. as you like go on, you maybe talk about that less, but I just didn't like the slowdown as much whenever we did rolls.
Yeah.
For me though,
we honestly didn't use all of the system either. Yeah. There was a lot of things that we didn't use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I actually liked the fact that our stats were tied to how we felt and, you know, what we were good at. So like, even though we had to slow down and talk about which of them applied, it kind of helped a little bit with role play decisions, like what made sense too, you know, because you were basically saying like, I am being this right now, so that's why I think I need to roll this die. So it made it so that your dice and your like what you're rolling is related to the narrative directly.
I liked that part of it. I just didn't like how long it took.
Yeah.
to actually like get through it all. It just feels like it really chopped up the role play a lot. And if you're not much of a role player, you may enjoy the system more than I did, but I am super heavy on the role play, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the system overall. I just, the rolling wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I get it. Wesley, any thoughts?
I like the stress wise, but it was true, I think, that sometimes it did take a bit longer to decide, like, okay, in the moment, what is it feeling like? And similar to Susanna, you know, I like to role play it, which is good because it does let you kind of go more into the immediate feeling of your characters. But it was also, if I were to give this system to someone, I would probably recommend this to be like maybe the second or third system they learn. I wouldn't say use this one first, you know. It's not like versus spell, because I would, for RPGs in general, I'd be like, yes, use spell, you can learn that really quick. This one, it took a little bit of time to get to it, but you know how a lot of ours, we run longer and we don't even fully understand it by the time we're done with the one shot. By the time this one was over, I think we had a pretty good handle on this one. It I don't think it took as long for us as, say, Shadowrun or even Savage Worlds took.
I still think Savage Worlds is my favorite non-Powered by the Apocalypse game that we've played.
Yeah,
it is. It
Other
was
than
very
one of the
fun.
Really simple ones like Spell or...
Yeah.
What was the...
But I also
what was
don't think
game?
Spell would work for like a long-term campaign.
Shanty
like
Hunters.
If we were going to pick a new system for a long-term campaign, I would pick Savage Worlds.
Yeah, I would too. Although I already have an idea for what I'm going to do for our next campaign. And spoiler alert, it is not Savage Runs. Savage
da,
Worlds.
Da, da.
No.
Da,
da, da.
It is not
what
Monster of the Week.
Be?
I will
make
let you,
your guesses
I will let you
in the Discord.
Think.
What do you think it might be?
Anyways, as like the narrator in this system, I enjoyed it. But going through the book, there is a lot of it that we like didn't use. I think I would like this system more if I would have had more time to really read it and maybe play it with someone else who's played it before to really like understand all the nuances. Because there's like a lot of mechanics that we didn't even touch. Like Vaka and Eckers are something called catalysts, which give them a catalyst die. So they're supposed to be able to do specific things to kind of like influence the story. And I didn't even touch that. You guys are supposed to be able to do things to like step up and step down your dice to like be able to manipulate other dice.
I do remember reading about that, but yeah, we didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of things. Like, I really like this system. I think the system has a lot of potential and I liked the way that we used it, but I think we kind of used it in a rules light way.
Yeah.
And I would like to learn it more thoroughly to really give like my solid opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think I like it. I enjoyed it. I see the potential. I feel like I need to actually learn it more, though, to say whether it's something I would play long term, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I have a question, Hina. Do you think you might have enjoyed it more if you weren't going off of a module?
Maybe. I think I would have the same feeling of, like, I don't totally understand the system. But I probably would have been more confident in the story. I know I was struggling a lot with sticking to a module because I've never done that before. And I wanted to, like, give you guys things or, like, you know, like I normally do. Like, I don't plan a story strictly when I do a one-shot with you guys. Right. And so it was hard for me to not be more flexible and, like, adjust things to how you guys were acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I could definitely tell
that. That was definitely tricky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely tricky for me.
But it's okay. We edited good, so it was all fine.
No, it was all fine. But I think that is one of the constant differences between module and homebrew stuff. Is that usually if you want to follow the module, there are certain parameters you must operate by, which is not a bad thing at all if you like playing that way.
I'm just not used to, like, not knowing or having all of the answers, like, immediately. When we, like, do our one-shots, like, even if I don't know the answer, I can think about it logically for a minute and be like, yeah, that makes sense, and just go ahead and, like, ad-lib it. But this one, I have to be like, hold on a second, let me scroll through the book. Like, scroll, read.
That's true. I think maybe part of that, too, is, like, because it's a module, there's nothing saying that you have to follow it perfectly, but the fact that it has so much for you to follow, like you just said, that gives you kind of the imperative to want to, like, follow the module unless it doesn't cover something, you know? So, like, it's basically slowing you down to make sure you followed the module. And even if you don't have to do that, there's nothing saying you have to do that,
but
that's kind of
the
natural urge is like, oh, I've got this module. They've done all this work for me. They've got this great story set up. Mm-hmm. I want to follow it, you know? So it is definitely hard.
Yeah, I felt like I wanted to, because also, like, I wanted to make sure it was properly integrated into the world, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And I knew they had already done all of that work.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was useful, you know, and, like, really cool that it's so integrated into the show already. But it was definitely a challenge for me as a GM to, like, run.
Gotcha.
Either way, still very, very fun.
I enjoyed the system. Story, yeah. I enjoy playing in the world. I'd like to play as a player, you know, to be an elf, but it's fine. I think it's funny you guys all picked elves, but given the story, I think it's kind of fitting.
Yeah, I think it made sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think all of us would be like, why is there a random human along with us? I mean,
I know, like, if you look at, like, stats, like, the most common, like, say, like, D&D class is human fighter. And I think the reason is that most people, the first time they play, they will probably play, like, a human fighter, because it's what they know. They're aware of how that works. We've seen people swing swords. We get the idea, you know? And then the next time people play, they're like, I want to play an elf. So, like, I'm over the wanting to be a human fighter thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, there are elves. I can have wings. Yes.
I want to be an elf. Yes.
I don't think I ever had a human fighter phase, because the first podcast was Thornvale for me. So I had to, like, I got to be a hybrid straight off. So I didn't have to be a straight human for anything I've ever.
Yeah.
Except, no, I've done a couple smaller ones where I was a human cleric at one point and a few others, but
I'm the only human in Shadowrun.
My first game, I was a human barbarian because I wanted to be a Viking.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun getting to roll a d12 because I had a battle axe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all of the questions. Did you guys have any other
fan art
thoughts? Oh, wait, there is one more question. Yes. What fan art from this one shot would you like to
see?
Riding the dragon.
Yeah.
I do want to see what the dragon looks like. I do want to see...
Well, the dragon's in the show.
That's true.
Oh.
The dragon is in the fight at the Storm Spire. If you watch the episode, you will see her.
Ah.
Very cool.
I know that the I know the book gave a art of this setting, but I would love to see other people's interpretations of the corrupted Sunforge. That whole setting when we're at the top of the tower, what does that look like to other people? Because I know the one in the book looked really cool, but I'm just thinking, well, yeah, but it might look different to somebody else. What does it look like? I would want to see a picture of the twin-tailed saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah. Twin-tail saber-tooth.
Inferno-tooth tiger.
I knew there was something fire in there.
Yeah.
Twin-tail and inferno-tooth tiger. Yeah.
Obviously, the most cinematic scene is Daraka throwing the thing in, throwing the bottle in.
The big toss.
And Orta helping blow it in or whatever she did to kind of help affect it.
That'd be what I think. I don't think necessarily there was a ton of like super cinematic scenes for fan art. Obviously, every time we do one of these, I kind of want to see fan art of our characters. I just want to see
that's true.
Of our characters are. You know?
Yeah, because we described them pretty good at the top end. So
yeah.
I think that should just be a, like, in the future, we're just going to be like, assume we always want character art. We always want character.
Yeah, I think anything with Orta the dragon and, like, the vial, like, tossing the vial, maybe Toleth and Kefira taking down Orta to give her the serum, that, too, would be cool.
That'd be cool, yeah, because I got to use my big spell that I was hoping to get to use the whole
cool
time.
Yeah, you used your crystal spell.
Yeah, that or the, really cool. the dust and dirt, like, grabbing one as well.
Yeah.
Just because it was the one big combat my character got to do and he was combat focused, I would want to see him just knocking heads with these two Aviren soldiers.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
My character was incredibly non-combat focused.
Because
I wasn't sure what kind of module we were doing.
It's good to be well-rounded.
Yeah. It's also good not to be smashed into a pulp.
Very true.
Okay, anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All around, it was very fun, and congrats, Hannah, for running a module the first time. It was really cool.
Thank you. It was challenging. I don't think I'll be doing it again.
I don't want to do one, personally. I've got too many of my own ideas.
Homebrew. I don't think any of us really prefer... I think we all prefer homebrew over modules, honestly. We'd rather...
Well, there are some people who do like modules more than homebrew, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
It's just not my cup of tea.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think majority of us personally prefer the homebrew. Nothing against modules at all.
No, of course not.
Yes.
They're a great tool, especially if you're just starting out and you're not sure like how to create a world or anything.
And I think this module does a good job at giving you a good... like kickoff into your own homebrew
campaign. Yeah.
Because like it does this big setup for your heroes to like meet and, you know, save the world together, and then after that they can go off and, you know, do whatever. So I think this module would be really good for like maybe a first time GM that is getting their feet wet and isn't too confident in making their own story yet, because I think this module kind of like sets up a good way for you to get into your own world, if that makes
sense.
It's
better than meeting in a tavern or whatever.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you guys met in a Taverns B Plains of Fate.
Although, to be fair, there was quite quickly a meteor that crashed into... the countryside.
I don't actually have anything wrong with the meeting in a tavern joke. Yeah. It's just so, you know,
it's just a stereotype.
It's just been used a lot. It's true.
Also, I don't think we actually met in the tavern.
No, we didn't.
No, yeah, you guys. Yeah, the joke being like you met in a town called Tavern.
Also, this is
B,
Plains of Fate.
Yeah.
If anyone didn't know,
yes,
I think I said that already.
I think the only one who was actually in the tavern at all was my character, and then promptly left the tavern after the meteor hit.
Yes,
Golden
that is correct.
Plains of Fate. It's our Patreon.
Our
show.
First. Three episodes are on our main
feed.
It includes this. Yes.
So you can hear what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. Susanna, you want to close us out?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. So thank you so much for joining us. To anyone who listened, if this is your first one, go back and listen to the main show or listen to one of our one-shots. We have loads of them. You can come back in 2 weeks and join us for our next one shot, which is going to be our friend Quinn's game Absurdia. And we are
so excited.
It's gonna be so fun. It is such a cool system, and we are going to have a blast with it.
Guest GM, cool system, buddies from Monster Hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maker of the system.
Yes, the maker of the system is running it for us, and it's going to be so fun. We always love those. Those are always really fun. So thank you for everyone for joining us. Thank you, Hannah, for running the game. You did an awesome job.
Thank you.
And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.